Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been considering and thinking together concerning scriptural principles for family and home relationships. We could call this by different names, but that's basically what we've been discussing. And I want to emphasize in beginning this message today that I'm really speaking to Christian parents. I don't want to cut any of you out as you listen, but I want to emphasize the point that when we have a true relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we are going to be changed in our lives, and we're going to be more capable of living the Christian life that God wants us to live and being an influence and an example to our children in the home. And so I believe a true Christian marriage is first of all based upon true relationship to the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. I want to be very respectful in what I say, but many of you may be religious. You may be good church members. You may be following all of the ordinances, all of the sacraments, whatever you call them in your church, all of these different things that your church requires, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus himself. Or you may even be depending upon other things or other people to help save you from sin. The ones you pray to, the ones you look to, and so forth. You may be depending upon other things and other people. Jesus himself had this to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So no matter what your nationality might be, the wording is exactly the same, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And when I die, when I'm ready to die, in fact, the only thing I need is relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I may come from a different church. I may be from a different background. But if I don't have this relationship with the Lord Jesus and am depending upon him alone to save me, I am not going to heaven. Now, this has to do with families as well. And I want to get back to this very quickly with you. And that is that when I have the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I have the Holy Spirit also indwelling my life, and he is helping me to be the right kind of a parent, the right kind of an example to my children, the right kind of a husband or a wife, as the case might be. Now today, I want to talk for a few minutes about what parents should expect from their children. In each of these messages, I have just a few minutes, but today I want to talk about what parents should expect from their children. And I'm speaking to those who have the help of God in their lives through their relationship with the Lord Jesus. And I believe that parents have a right to expect much from their children. When we raise our children in a Christian home, we have properly taught them. We've raised them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, as Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 teaches us. Then we have a right to expect that these children will manifest certain qualities. First of all, a child is to have respect and honor for his parents. Respect and honor for his parents. Now, we parents are not perfect. Let's not pretend that we are. When we live before our children, even in our husband-wife relationship, we recognize we're not perfect. Nevertheless, it is true in society and it's true in the home that children are to respect those who are in authority over them. Those who are in charge, in other words. When a child goes to school, he is to respect his parents, and he's to respect his teachers. When he goes into society, he's to respect the government. And so in every level of life, the child is taught respect and honor. Now in Exodus chapter 20, and again in Ephesians chapter 6, and in other places, we see that respect and honor is very important to God. Even in the husband-wife relationship, we noticed that in Ephesians chapter 5, that the wife is to respect and honor her husband. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the husband is to honor and to respect his wife. You see this again in Proverbs chapter 31, where both children and the husband are respecting the wife in the home, the wife and the mother in the home. And they're honoring her even in the streets of the city. With outsiders, they're honoring and respecting her. I remember my father would never permit disrespect for either my father or mother in the home. In other words, we would be punished if we showed any disrespect to our mother, if we spoke to her sharply in any way, if we disobeyed her in a disrespectful manner, or any other thing. My father would surely punish us. I had loving, tender parents. It may not sound like it, but I did. I had loving, tender parents, but they were strict with us in the matter of respect and honor. So we require this of a child. The next thing that a parent should expect is willing obedience from the child. That this child is not to have a resentful or a sullen attitude. We use that word sullen sometimes, where a child is pouting, and a child is not having a willing spirit of obedience. And this willing spirit is to be very, very important. Now you notice in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 22 to 30, the disobedient sons of the priest named Eli. Now this priest had Samuel in the temple with him. Samuel had been dedicated by his mother. And this priest was not really a good example, because the priest's own sons, who someday would be the ones who would take the place of their father in the priesthood. His own sons were not obeying him. They were not in perfect obedience to him. And I believe that a child is not only to obey, but is to have a willing spirit of obedience. It's not simply the idea of, all right, I'll do it. That's the way some people expect their children to talk, and they accept it from their children. But this is not God's way. He wants a spirit of tender obedience to whatever the parent wants that child to do. And so you see this in Ephesians chapter 6. You see it in Luke chapter 2, where the Lord Jesus himself as a young child obeyed his parents. And then the next thing is open communication. Sometimes children do not like to communicate. They don't talk with each other. They don't talk with their parents. A child comes home from school. The parent says, well, what happened at school today? And the child simply says, nothing, and goes to his room. A parent should not permit this. In other words, in family relationships, there is to be open communication. And this is especially important between parents and children, open communication between them. I believe the parents, of course, need to communicate with the child, but the child also needs to communicate with the parents. The child needs to know that the parents have a right to know what's happening in the life of the child. The child does not simply have a secret life, and then go into his room, close his door, and shut out the parents. They're part of a family, and communication is very important. Now, to be fair, I believe even between a husband and wife, there must be open communication. But of course, this is also true in the matter of parent-child relationships. Now, you see this in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and 16, and you see this idea of communication. David did not have good communication with his children. And perhaps it was David's own fault. He was a very, very busy king. He simply did not have good communication with his children. And of course, the children did not communicate with him. Later, the one child, Absalom, turned against his father and even tried to kill his own father. He tried to seize the kingship, and he tried to kill his own father. What a tragedy this was. But it began many years earlier, when a king was simply too busy to communicate with his children. Then the right attitudes are also important in the life of the child. And you're going to see this in many, many cases in the Bible. People with the right attitudes. Again, 2 Samuel chapters 15 and 16, where the children of David did not have the right attitudes towards him, or towards the home, or towards anything in life. Their attitudes were bad attitudes. And a child has to have a right attitude towards everything. When he goes to school, the teacher will notice if his attitudes tend to be bad. And so he begins his training in the home itself. He develops right attitudes towards life, even towards difficult things, sometimes even towards disappointments and losses. A child still has the right attitude. We see this in the Christian life in general, but we also see it in parent-child relationships. We have the right attitude. And so in applying this in the home, this child is at home many times with several other children in the family. This child is to have attitudes in fact, the right attitudes towards other members of the family, towards the problems of the family, towards things the families are going through. Another thing the child needs is responsibility in the home. Children today want to be paid for everything, but responsibility is very, very important. And this responsibility in the home is something the child learns at the earliest age. I remember when I was young, our family was rather poor. We were going through what we call a depression in the United States. It was a major depression in the late 30s, and in fact the early 30s, it was a major depression financially. And I remember my father had no money for anything. Each of the children had certain chores, we call them, certain responsibilities in the home. We were expected to carry out these responsibilities. We didn't get paid for anything. We didn't ask for anything. Whether it was cutting the lawn, or whether it was doing the dishes after supper, whatever it was, we had responsibilities in the home. You see this again in 1 Samuel, where the children were raised with responsibility. You look, for instance, at the life of Samuel himself, not only in his own home, but then he went to live in the temple with the priest Eli. And every day, Samuel had responsibilities there in the temple. He was just a young lad, perhaps no more than 8, 10, 12 years of age in the years he lived there in the temple. But he had certain responsibilities he was expected to carry out. And so this was expected of him every day. Then, of course, the child is also to have diligence in what he does. In other words, he's not only to have a willing spirit, but he's to proceed to do the job and to do it right, and to do it diligently with all his heart. When you study the book of Colossians, chapter 3, you see two principles there that are laid out. Verse 17 of chapter 3 of Colossians. First of all, the principle of doing everything to the Lord Jesus and in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, in a way that Jesus would not be ashamed of us in the way we do things. But down in verse 23, we are told we are to do things with all our hearts. In other words, we're to do them with an attitude that we will do them completely. We will apply ourselves completely, whatever we do. And we expect this of a child. A parent should not have to watch over the child minute by minute, hour by hour, to be sure that the child is doing what he's supposed to do. That child should proceed to do it. He should do it well. He should do it in a way that's satisfactory to the parents. And, of course, it would be also to God. Then another characteristic of this child is that this child is to be absolutely honest in everything. My father would never let us lie. In other words, we would be punished sometimes for disobedience, but he expected us always to tell the truth. Did you break that vase? Did you do what I told you to do? Did you carry out my instructions completely? Whatever the instruction might have been. The father wanted absolute honesty from me. I either did it or I didn't do it. He didn't want me to make excuses. He didn't want anything in the way of defending myself for not having done what I was supposed to do. He wanted the truth. Did you do it or did you not do it? And so we would be punished more severely if we did not speak honestly. Now, you'll notice in Genesis 27, and I want to say this very quickly. In Genesis 27, first of all, the mother taught her son Jacob how to lie. Apparently, this child had not been a liar. But then the mother taught him how to lie, and then the child became an accomplished liar. He himself lied to his father. Apparently, it was without any twinge of conscience whatsoever. He lied to his father. Later, he lied to his father-in-law, Laban. And all his life, he was going to be a liar. And this habit developed when he was a child, when the mother herself taught him how to do it. Now, I have mentioned before, and I want to emphasize this again, that in the parent-child relationship, the child is following the example of the parent. And, of course, the child is doing what the parent does. So if a parent is not always honest with a child, or with the wife, as the case might be, or the wife with her husband, then the child is going to pick this up, and the child also will follow that example. So we expect honesty of a child. This means that under all circumstances, no matter how difficult honesty might be, the child would never say anything but the truth. One other thing I want to mention before I stop. The child is also accountable to the parents. We see this in Luke chapter 2, where the Lord Jesus gives an example of accountability. When the Lord Jesus was very young, now think of the Lord Jesus now. He is the divine Son of God, but he is also perfectly human. He was raised as a child in the home of his mother and father. This child had to be responsible to them. He had to be obedient. He had to follow the standards that they had set. This child also was accountable to them. He was under their authority, under their jurisdiction. It seems very strange when we're thinking of the divine Son of God himself in human form, but he was perfectly human, and he lived a perfectly human life. And so he was accountable to his parents. This is in Luke chapter 2, 41 to 52. Now I want to stop there for today, but I want to say that we parents set standards for our children. We expect certain things of them, and we must be consistent in expecting these things to be present in their lives. We must train them and teach them in these things. May the Lord help you to be a wise and careful parent in these matters.